Hey everybody, how are you? It's Flip here, just giving you a pre-welcome to the brand new podcast. Well, it's brand new now that I'm putting it up, but you might listen to this and it could be a year old. Who knows? Anyway, just wanted to again thank you all for listening, to subscribing. I assume you're subscribing. If you haven't, if you're just kind of listening to this, hey, I hope you subscribe by the end of it. This week, I have a great guest, my buddy Joey Medina, very funny comic, and Allison, my lovely wife, sits in on this one too. We have some great discussions ranging from comedy to swinging to threesomes, a lot of sex in this show. Hope you don't have virgin ears. Also, wanted to clarify a couple things. Number one, for whatever reason, I said that it was my 13th episode. Excuse me, I said it was my 12th episode. It's actually number 13. Number 13, so that was my faux pas. I can't seem to remember what actual episode numbers they are. For whatever reason, I'm always off by like one or two. And the other thing is, as I've said and stated in podcasts before, I'm still getting the hang of the technical end of this. Again, I'm my own engineer. I do this literally all by myself. For whatever stupid reason, I had my headphones plugged into the wrong thing, so the volume is a little low on this one. I know that's a big inconsistency is the volume levels. Again, I'm still figuring this out. I appreciate you guys being patient, and again, all the support that you guys are sending me, it really does mean a lot. So enjoy this episode, and please, if you haven't subscribed, do. And if you feel up to it, leave a little review on iTunes. I definitely would appreciate that. There's a couple on there that are very nice now. I'd love to see some more. So again, thank you guys. See you next time. Talk to you next time. And we'll do everything next time. Now here's the show. Hello, everybody. Oh, it's me again. Yay, it's me. And welcome to, I think this is episode 12. Lucky number 12.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Of What's for Dinner. Today I am joined in the bedroom slash studio with, I would say, one of my dearest, oldest friends in comedy. One of the guys I met when I was still a local Miami boy doing the MC thing down at the Miami Improv. One of the guys that I met long ago that I've stayed not only in touch with, but still very close with. He is not only an incredibly funny comedian, he is also a brilliant director, filmmaker, writer. Have I kissed your ass
Hey,
enough?
I thought I was on the show. Who's this other
We're talking about my good buddy Joey Medina is here, everybody. Hello,
Thanks,
Joey.
Flip. It's good to be on the show,
It's good
man.
to have you on the show. Do you like the professionalism of
I love
everything?
it, actually. Very comfortable.
That's what you try to
It looks
provide.
good.
Yeah. Who needs a big studio? We just got, just a little apartment in the valley with
What
a
other
board.
podcasts do you have a beautiful woman just laying in a bed?
Oh, yeah.
Hanging, I mean, where else are you going to find that?
Well, we are in the valley, so I'm
Yes.
sure a couple
No,
of
that's
places.
true.
A couple of places. Joey's referring to my lovely wife, Allison, who is also a regular contributor on the show. She, although
And a regular layer downer.
Layer downer.
Regular getting laid. Joey and I, we are sitting up in some chairs, and Allison, because we do this in the bedroom, is literally just lounging on the bed with a microphone going, "Hi, everyone."
I know, that's a casual thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have a podcast, and
Which I'm going to be doing right after
Yeah,
this.
right after
This is
this one.
going to be fun.
And my podcast is in a very professional studio. But there's something that takes away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
To me, a podcast really is more of a casual situation.
You know what I kind of equate it to? It's funny that you said that, because I back in Florida, I used to do a lot of morning radio.
Right.
And I was on this one station for like a year, and we were doing it in like it was a studio, but it was like they had just one floor dedicated to their studio, and it was kind of guerrilla. Like, we'd I'd come in with an idea for a bit, and me and this other guy would write it, and
right.
they would record it, and blah, blah. And then they got kind of taken over by Clear Channel, and they had like this big corporate building.
Right.
And they still did the show, but it felt less informal. It
right.
was more, it's almost like, did you ever see Wayne's World?
Yeah.
You remember when they used to do the thing
the
in the basement,
yeah.
and then they got bought up, and we're doing the studio, and it just had this whole different vibe to it. I think that's what like that's the feeling between like this podcast and another podcast in the studio.
Like, and I think this like a lot of podcasts do what you know they do it at their house, they do it in a room, in a closet, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone's on the show, they pretty much naturally react or behave in that kind of relaxed atmosphere. Like, you know, they'll just start chilling and just start having a good conversation.
Yeah.
When someone who doesn't know really how to do radio well, let's say a comedian who really doesn't know how to do radio, you put them in an environment where it's a professional studio, all of a sudden it's like an interview.
Yeah.
They're kind of tighter and they're in an interview. Like, and you know, I've got to tell the guys, hey, just loosen up, man. We're just chilling. We're in a garage, make believe.
Exactly.
You know, but it's because of the attitude.
Totally.
You know, I love the ones that you just sit down, lay on a fucking couch, do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, but come back here and lay.
Yeah, I'm actually going to lay next to your wife.
You want to lay in the bed?
Yeah, that's right.
Lay in the bed. There's plenty of room.
Seriously, go lay down in the bed. Yeah.
No, I'll just stay here with you.
Go fuck my wife.
Yeah, because if I get an erection with your wife next to me, it's going to be ruined. And it's going to be weird next time we see each other.
I would be insulted if you didn't get an erection lying next to my wife.
If you want me to make it feel more like home, I'll go make Rice Krispies.
There you go.
And steak.
I thought she was going to get rice. I thought she rice and beans. I thought that's what she was going to say. You want me to feel like home? I'm going to go make rice and beans for you right now. And put on some salsa music.
She could do it, though. She's like the ultimate. Like, I had a buddy of mine a couple of weeks over for a podcast. And Allison's like, do you want a steak? I'll go make you a steak. And she was like dead serious. She would have made this guy a steak.
Yeah, so you got a good woman there.
I got a great woman.
You know, last time Flip and I were having lunch talking some shit, he all he did was talk about you. And he said really good things.
Well, I figure my vagina was burning. So
well, that's a whole other story.
We're talking about?
Yeah, that's a whole other story. That was a swinger party you guys went to.
That's funny. We actually had dinner last night with a couple of friends who are swingers.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you already know? Did they sneak it out?
They're like, oh, no, we knew. Oh,
way okay. open about it. Oh,
pardon
open.
The
pun. I actually, for the first time ever, went to a swingers meet and greet because they had me perform there. And
nice.
I tell you, you never learn so much about people than you do in a swingers community.
Oh, yeah. I've been to many swinger parties.
Wow. It's so
open. Have you swung?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Swingy.
And it was never with a wife or someone serious. It was always some
grandmother.
Some hood rat that I met somewhere.
Grandmother.
Yeah,
so wait, I never knew this about you.
Oh,
yeah. How many times have you swung?
Geez, probably about maybe six.
Really?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Were you nervous the first time you did it?
Oh, yeah. Because the first time I went was the worst. Because it was literally, it looked like a porn set. It was, because normally the parties I've gone to since then are very classy. They're like in a huge mansion, huge house, and it literally is like a party, and just people happen to be fucking everywhere. But it's nice and casual, and you don't feel
so
any,
where are you right? from? Huh?
Yeah, there's no not really. There's no pressure. But the first one I went to, dude, was like it looked like a fucking. It was naughty. It was like people were just fucking everywhere, and it was like if you weren't fucking, you know, get the fuck out. Like it was just really weird. So I mean, I ended up having a good time still. But yeah,
I mean, was everybody good looking, or were they just like fat guys? Like
no. It was probably a mixture. And then I go to a couple that are really, everyone's good looking. Like, I don't know how I get invited, but, and they usually, and those, the ones that are really good looking people, you actually have to send them a photo of yourself and your girl.
That's what our buddy was telling us. Like him and his girl, they said they have to send photos and they get photos sent to them.
And they don't mess around with noobs because noobs get all like weirdo about certain things.
Yeah,
so I'd be incredibly nervous.
There's a lot of, but you know what? You really wouldn't. Once you're there, it's so relaxing because the parties that I like to go to are the ones where you go, you bring your own booze. There's always a bartender.
BYOB.
Yes, there's a bar to
bring your own
vagina.
Bring your own bitch. BYOB. Bring your own vagina.
So no, he's let's say you bring a bottle of vodka, they give you number 5, whatever number you give you. So anytime you go to the bar, they have all the mixers there, and you know, like, hey, let me have a number 5. Let me get some grape juice with that, or whatever the fuck you put it in. And then and people just hanging out. You're talking. They have they've got finger foods. They've got all. They've DJs. Like, you know, some of the houses are so huge. There's like a DJ upstairs, another DJ in the basement, and you know, the parties are just huge. And people are doing their shit. The girls are dressed extremely sexy. You know, almost in lingerie some of the time.
So let's say you're at a bar and you're just talking to a girl, and then you two kind of hit it off. After like 5 minutes, you go, so you want to go far?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's almost kind of like just natural. And guys, everyone uses the women for the bait. It's almost like let the women do their things first, and as they get there, then the guys will start, you know, hey, do you mind? And they're very strict with no is no. So if you go to do something and you know, someone says no, then it's no, you know. So because a lot of guys will let their wives or whatever do something with another woman, and they'll watch, but they won't they'd rather not swing. They just rather
just
do it. Yeah, kind of just watch and do something with their.
Now, how many, like, how many times did you actually get your nut off in a night? Because I know if it was me, number one, I would be done within 5 seconds, and then I'd be like,
average,
I want to go home.
I would say average about 3 times.
Three times. That's pretty. And how long were you there for? For like the.
I'm usually there all night. Like they start around 10-ish, and they end like at 4. So
an average of once every 2 hours, you're not off.
Because you're walking around, you're talking, you know, you don't look like a perv. You want to look like
You're at a swingers party. I don't want to.
You
want
to act like you got there by mistake. Really, what is this place? You know,
isn't the Amway meeting.
So that's the way it works. And then sometimes I remember I went to one where it wasn't the best looking people. It was a lot older, not in best shape. So it was great for me. And but we met this couple and the wife was fucking gorgeous. She was gorgeous. She was a little older. She was, you know, but she was fucking gorgeous. So me and the girl I was with, another hood rat that I met, and we just took the couple close to our house. We lived close. I mean, it was close to our house. So we just went home and we just continued the party at my house. So
it didn't make you nervous? Like maybe they're posing as swingers, but they're going to like, but then they're going to rape you. Like, well, that's what I wanted anyway.
Yeah, there you go. No, it was cool. And it was fun. And you know, And it was great because, you know, it was a girl. I didn't care about it. There was no jealousy here, nothing. So I didn't care. So I had fun, and it was cool.
Yeah, see, I think that's because we were talking about this with our friends. Like, I've been kind of... I understand the idea of it. I understand the idea that, you know, marriage is this, you know, societal created thing that's, you know, in quote, institution because you're committed to it. But as nature intends, we're animals, and we have desires that we shouldn't deny. And Allison agrees with this too, but I think I was brought up with such a mentality that, you know, cheating is bad, and you know, once you're married, that's it, and that you're not with anybody. So it's like this conflicting sides of me that are like fighting each other.
But you know what it is? It's just conditioning. If you go to any other part in of the world, for the most part, especially Europe, it's extremely common. It like monogamy really doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
What our friend was even saying was it's like the love is monogamous. Like, you could be in love with somebody, and that love doesn't change. But the sex aspect of it, that's just sex.
It's an act. It would be like playing tennis or jogging or whatever. It's not... And the thing
exercise.
Is, yeah, there you go. And, like, you know, I'm
going to go out for a jog and then fuck another woman.
I'll give you an example. I've been married 3 times. And
but this time it's going to work.
Yes. I'm not married anymore, thank God. I finally figured out. I'm like, hell, okay. I was the one that didn't like it. So anyway, my second wife, we had an agreement. I could fuck anybody I wanted, but she had to be involved. I was like, oh, okay. And it was cool. And I actually did not cheat. Like when I would go to a club or I would meet a girl, I'd be like, hey, I would hit, I would flirt, and I would say, hey, here's a picture of my wife. You know, don't you come out? And you don't. It's weird. 8 out of 10 times, it would work where they would come back with me or we would set up for another date. But I didn't feel like I had to cheat, and I always felt like a man because I was always flirting. I was still flirting. I was still on the hunt. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm fucked. I can't ever fuck anybody ever again. You know what I mean?
So that's how I feel.
Yes. So it feels good like that. And it really is just sex. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of women are more conditioned that way than men, that it's like, oh, no, once you're married or once you're in a relationship, that's it. He can't have sex with anybody else. I'm like, wow, such a mistake. Such a mistake.
Like, I've recently been reading a book, and we were talking about this on another podcast, just about how it's meant for us to share the idea of making love with almost all entities. Like, that's what we're kind of put on this earth to do, is to, you know, make love. It's not just procreation. It's about, like, the incredible feeling and the connection of your chakras to the universe. But that's, like, what I've been reading about.
Honey, when our chakras connect.
Oh, hello.
I fucked the chakra out of you. Medina. The chakra.
Chakra con.
I totally agree with everything you guys are saying. It's to me, I'm less conditioned with the idea that he can never, like, I said this to when I was 16 to my boyfriend at the time, who was a musician. He wanted to go run around and do the whole groupie thing when he made it big, and I said, get as many blowjobs as you want, do all that you want, just come home to me, and that'll be, and at 16, that's I kind of had this.
That's your marriage material at 16.
I was like, hey, this is how it'll be. You go ahead and get your nut off, just love me, and we'll be happy.
And you know, it, you know what, and I'll be honest, if more women thought that way, their men would never leave them, because really, it's hard. I've loved more than one person, and that's very difficult. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not. I'd rather just be in love with the woman I'm in love with, go home to her, she's my everything. Like, I even believe this. To me, I don't think a guy fucking another girl is cheating. I think if a guy takes another girl on a date, or goes on vacation, or does a nice fancy dinner, to me, I think that's cheating. Even though I still think the way I think, I think that's cheating. I'm like, you don't need to do that. Just... You know, and one of the reasons why men leave their wives for other women, it's not because the other women were more interesting or their wife wasn't good enough, is that in American society, men are taught to court a woman. You know, he just can't, so the guy doesn't just think, hey, listen, my secretary, I just want to fuck her. No, he has to go, well, I want to take her to dinner, I want to treat her nice, and that's the way I get into that. And then what happens is he gets confused and his feelings change for the other chick instead of it just being a simple fuck.
Yeah. Exactly. It's separating basic emotion from sex.
Right.
You know? Well, we've been taught that sex is wrong, and unless we do it for the reason of love.
I haven't been taught that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, institutionalized, you're supposed to have sex because you're in love.
Right, right.
So that's where the whole courting thing comes into play. It's I'm going to court you so that I can woo your intention.
I don't think that's the norm anymore. I think it's some
sort of like... I'm going to complete the circle over here so I don't keep making Joey straight.
Yeah, I think,
no, I'm good.
I think you should have sex because you're horny or because the price is right. whatever.
On a game show?
Yeah.
Should have sex on a game show?
Yes.
Whatever. Like, for instance, you know, I just came back, I was in Thailand, in Bangkok, and the price is always right there. Yeah, exactly. Literally, I would say 9 out of 10 women were professionals there. You know, and I don't want to say, it's weird, but prostitute or hooker sounds like a negative word, but whatever, they worked in the sex industry, and that's what it was.
Mm.
And it was so simple. You know, it made sense.
Would you be upset if I got a hooker in Bangkok?
I mean, I like the idea of him being involved. Like, I would like to be involved.
Okay,
it's
if
not
I flew a hooker here from Bangkok.
That better be really good pussy to fly all the way from Bangkok.
I got to see some reviews on Yelp.
I would be all for it, my dearest.
I even had a girlfriend once where she lived in Illinois, and she was my girlfriend. You actually met her at the...
Oh, at the premiere for Lampalooza?
Yes,
yeah, I remember her. You guys, if I remember correctly, you guys had bought a house or something at the time.
Yeah, she was fucking crazy. Guys. Oh my god, I think about it. I'm like, what the fuck was I doing? So anyway, but the pussy was good. No, so one time I remember I told her, I go, hey, I met this girl and I want to fuck her and, you know, we'll get us together. And she was like, yeah. But what happened was one day that other girl came over to my apartment at the time, and she was in Chicago. My girlfriend's in Chicago. And we had a three-way on the phone. I was banging this chick while my girlfriend was listening on the phone and having phone sex. And it was fucking awesome. I'm like, this is the best. And then it was cool. After the girl left, my girlfriend was like, oh, I called her back. She's like, did you have fun? I'm like, this fucking is the best girl ever. Like, that's marriage material. You know what I mean? But then she was fucking crazy. So that's why we...
Yeah, it's funny. We had talked about this on a previous podcast. But I think, like... It takes a very special woman to truly be okay with that, to not have any kind of jealousy, to truly be able to separate the emotion from the sex.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things too, you have to be smart. Like, anytime I've had a threesome with a girlfriend, I've never really I never show affection to the other girl.
Mm-hmm.
I was always only my girlfriend. I mean, I just fuck the other girl, kiss or whatever we do, but never show affection. And you can't, because then that's where the girl gets jealous.
Right, right. That's a good point, yeah.
And then it's okay if you're like, a lot of women say this, well, why can't I have two men? I go, because it's different. This is the difference, is when we have a threesome with two women, we're both fucking the other girl. She's there for both of us. Mm-hmm. If there's another guy involved, he's only, it's all about you, and I'm not getting nothing out of that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's a difference.
Yeah.
But, oh, they work, dude. Threesomes are the best fucking thing in the world. It's so much fun.
My birthday's coming up.
Yeah, there you go.
I've never said that there was...
Your only stipulation was that if it ever happens, I can't do anything to her. It's all about her doing something to me,
you know,
doing something
first,
to you while you're doing
Well, the first one could be that way. Like, I've done that too with girls where at first they were like, hey, I don't want you to do anything. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm down. And there's times where absolutely it happened exactly like that. And then there are other times where the girls were, once we were doing it, they were like, okay. you can do it.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, my thought processes are, I've been open to this idea for a long time, so I'm not sure what my rule system would be. My rule system would probably have to go with the flow, pun intended. However,
but she's under period, that's your stipulation?
Well, not that kind of flow.
No, but, yeah, but I think that's the way you do it. You take it easy, because everybody has their own rules, and that's the thing. You mm-hmm. should never follow anybody's rules. I had a girlfriend once who was a freak. We did everything. But her only rule was, I can't kiss the girl. She thought that was too intimate.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, okay. And then there's other girls that you can't, you know, you could do this, but you can't do that. Or you could, you know, she could suck your dick, but you can't, whatever, eat her pussy, or whatever it was. And it, so it just depends, whatever's comfortable for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, the less rules, the better. But you know, the rules.
Are you always wearing protection?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But there should always be, fuck, what was I going to just say? Oh, but there should always be rules for men. Like, for instance, never get the, like, if it's a girl, never get the girl's phone number if it's somebody you don't know already, or, you know, don't be the one.
Don't keep a correspondence.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. You know, you want your girlfriend or your wife or whoever to know, look, this is just simple sex. It's like having a sex toy, you know, a live sex toy.
Have you ever given a fake name at one of these things?
Oh, no. It's funny, dude. Sometimes I get recognized at the fucking thing. I'm like, oh, this actually works, because I'm like, all right, cool. Then
that's,
I know
good. Yeah, well, you've done a lot of cool, like, Joey's face, you were on buses out here, right? You were on buses and billboards.
Billboards. It was an $8 million campaign, I think, they spent. No, I'm sorry, it was $1.8 million.
Because this was a, Joey, you
had a morning radio show.
Morning radio show out here. How long did you have that for?
For about 2 years. It was the best 2 years. I made so much fucking money, and now I'm poor again. Now I drive by Sizzlers and go, one of these days.
And welcome to the life of a comedian, right?
There you go.
It's funny, when Joe and I met in Miami, this had to be... Well, when did your CD, your first CD, Below the Belt?
Below the Belt.
That came out in, what, 90...
Oh, wow.
Was that 97?
98,
okay.
It was 98.
So it was right, that's right when I met you, because you had just come out with it, and you were like, you gotta listen to this. And it was funny, it was stand-up with sketches and stuff. I remember listening to it on the way to the club one time. It was very, very funny. And so Joey and I met at Miami Improv. We worked out, we just really clicked off. Really clicked and hit it off. And it's funny,
you
we
clicked
had,
each other off. Yes.
We
know,
did
I
click
know.
Each other off.
Click this right here.
And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're having lunch, and we just started riffing on the idea of spoofing Pulp Fiction, that scene with Christopher Walken about the
watch
of the ass. And we were saying it was like a cuckoo clock of the ass, and like it's half past. What was it?
Half past your.
Half past my ass, or something like that. And you ended up using that in your film,
El Matador. Yeah.
The Matador, yeah. Who'd have thought that little riff would lead to a whole scene in a film?
Yeah, it was hilarious, man. It was hilarious.
And then what if it struck a certain hour, like the bird would come out, asshole?
Every hour on the hour, a cuckoo would come out of your father's ass. That's what it was. It was half past your father's ass.
Half past your father's ass.
Yes,
he's telling
the story.
That's great.
No, that was funny. That was a funny bit.
That was really funny. That was a fun week too, man.
Yeah. It was good. And then, then you moved out here. Well, how long ago did you come out here?
I moved out here in January of 2001.
Oh, okay, cool. And, dude, I give credit to any comic who moves out to L.A. because a lot of people happens with a lot of comics, they become, like, the hot shit at their little club at Yuck Yuck mm-hmm. somewhere in the fucking middle of nowhere, you know, and then they move to L.A. and L.A., it eats you up and spits you the fuck out, and you go back home with a tail between your legs. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's life, and you know it. But there are comics that stay out here, and they get tougher, and they get better, and then when you get on the road, it's so much easier because you know, it's like, oh fuck, this is easy now. Now this is cake. You know, but when you're in LA, it's work.
When did you first move out to LA?
I moved out to LA. Wow, I would have to say I don't remember, but way before that. It was before we met.
Oh really? So you're already living in LA when we met? Okay. Okay, so good, because when I came out here, one of my biggest problems was, like, you know, I came from South Florida where I was like that guy. I was like a big fish in small pond, you know, and I was so used to, you know, maybe, you know, hosting down there, doing 15 minutes, whatever, but then mainly going on the road, doing featured headliner, 30 to an hour, whatever, mm-hmm. and then coming out to L.A. and having to figure out my showcase set, just 8-minute set at the Improv. Like, to me, that was one of the biggest challenges, was just taking the hours that I usually would do and fucking whittle it down to 8 minutes.
Oh yeah, you know what? It's the equivalent of if you take any professional boxer who's a world champion, you know, Mosley, any of these guys, Muhammad Ali back when he was, if you take him and say, okay, now you can only fight 3 rounds, they don't. It's so difficult to do because you're so used to fighting 12 rounds and 10 rounds where, and you gain your pace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know how it is. When you headline, it's the best pace in the world. Like, people think, oh, man, it's 45 minutes. I'm like, to me, that's too great. I love it. I can just lay back.
Exactly. Stretch your legs.
Yeah, I'll say what I want to say when I want to say it, when it comes out, and I'll make up new shit, and I'll have a great time. When, you know, you only got a few minutes, you're like, even 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, fuck it, which one am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna, and I still try to, you know, let it loose, but I'm not as relaxed as I would, I had 45 minutes an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that's funny, too, because you use a boxing analogy, and you're a former boxer, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What were you, welterweight?
Shit, I was a lightweight, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, I'm more heavyweight now, but, yeah, I was a light... I was an Arizona lightweight champion, and I fought for the world title in '86.
No shit.
Yeah.
So what? Now, how did you go from boxing to comedy? I'm not sure if you ever told me the story. I've always.
I was always a comedy fan. I was a comedy fan the way people are sports fans, and they know everything about sports. They know about the players and the coaches. They don't play any of the sports, but they know everything about these sports, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like that with comedy. I loved stand-up comedy as a little kid. I would listen to National Lampoon albums. I would listen to Cheech and Chong albums. You know, Red Fox, all these guys. And I love comedy, but I would never, ever wanted to do comedy because I thought I was gun shy. I was, you know, fucking stage fright. I never thought I would do it. So one day, or you never talking about boxing. So I became a boxer. I was an amateur boxer. I was a professional boxer. I always loved comedy. But after boxing, I decided to become a cop. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah,
no,
I was a cop.
In Arizona?
Yeah. During that time, I went to an open mic. Just to watch, and my friends at the time who were with me were like, hey, you should go up there. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. Finally, they convinced me, and I went up the way somebody would jump out of a plane, go skydiving, just for the thrill of it.
Mm.
Never did I think I'm going to be a stand-up comic. So
that same night?
Yeah,
that your friends there?
No, the next week.
Okay.
I had to build up for that shit. So
that's pretty ballsy to go up totally without any preparation.
And I was extremely nervous. I was so nervous that I had to go up as a character. I didn't go up as myself. I went up with glasses because I was scared, so I needed the sunglasses. It was like a barrier. And I dressed up like a cholo, and I did my whole act as a cholo.
Really?
Yes, with an accent and everything. It was horrible, fucking horrible.
What did you call yourself?
No, it was my name. But
oh, Joey
Medina. It wasn't necessarily like a character. I just changed my personality was a cholo personality.
Right.
And I needed that just to overcome the fear of standing on stage.
There.
Yeah. So I did that, and then that was it. Then I did a couple more times, and it was cool, and I was hanging out with comics. I loved it because I got to go to the comedy club for free now, and I was friends with real comics. Pablo Francisco was like the main guy in Tucson. Mm-hmm. He was the main open micer, almost professional kind of sort of guy.
Oh, this is back when Pablo was open mic?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pablo was open micing, just barely opening.
Really?
Yeah. So
this wasn't at the Improv?
No, this was at the Laughs in Tucson.
Oh, Laughs, okay. Yeah.
So anyway, and they still pay exactly the same as they did 20 years ago. So anyway, that was it. I became a cop, and that was it. Then, after I wasn't a cop anymore, I went back to the comedy club. I was really down. I was fucking practically homeless. Me and my ex-wife broke up, throwing my shit out. It was horrible. So I went to the comedy club because I could get in for free. And, I wanted to cheer myself up. And as I'm watching the comic that was up on stage, I remember telling myself, I can literally start my life over now. I have nothing. I don't have a job. I don't have a wife. I don't have shit. I go, I can do whatever I want. Whatever. If I want to become a fucking astronaut, a lawyer, I could start my life all over. And I was at a comedy club, and I go, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a comic. Professional.
Wow.
And that was it. And from that moment on, I didn't turn back, and I go, I'm going to become a comic. So I went to every open mic. I went to, you know, I did every gig I could possibly try to get. And then the way I broke out of that cholo shit was... I had to do a free gig, for a charity for a bunch of bikers. And when I got in there and I saw there were bikers, I told myself, I'm like, this cholo shit's not going to work with these guys. So I, for the first time ever, I did my act, I did the same act, but without acting like a cholo, without the glasses. And then, it worked okay. And I was like, well, you know what, I don't need to do that. So I tried not doing that, you know, on other shows. And that's how...
How long were you doing the cholo thing for before that happened?
Probably just maybe a few months, you know. When you're doing stand-up comedy and you're new, the first month it feels like a year. Like it's just like you know everything. You know every word. You go over your shit every day. It becomes so long. Now days just go by. But yeah, when you're new, it's in that 1 month it feels like a whole career.
Oh yeah.
Like I've been doing it 32 days. I mean, you say shit like that.
It's funny when Allison started doing comedy. After 2 years or something, a couple of years, another comic who had just started was asking her a question, and
teases me about this.
I do, because she's giving him advice. Well, what you need to do, you need to hit the... And like...
No, he came to
this
me
is George Lopez. What you need to do is get a show.
And I'm just looking at her like, look at you talking to Ted, like, I've been doing this 2 years, man. Let me show you how the business works.
No,
2 years
I've
been up.
This poor kid, he took the very first spot, and he was, like, fairly newer, and it was rough. It's always rough in the very first spot. So he came out, and this was, like, right after, I think I went up, like, third or something. So they were already getting ready to laugh, and, you know, so they laughed at me, and he had similar bits in the fact that they were a little dirty. So he was, like, he came out all sad, and he was like, they liked you, they didn't like me at all. And I didn't know what to say. What do you say this way?
That sucked, and I did.
That's
the honesty.
So I just said to him, well, no, it's very... And this was the advice I gave him. You're so cute. It makes it sound like I was like, I just basically said, well, you had the very first spot, and sometimes the first spot, it's like all comics have trouble because people are not ready to listen quite yet. So, and that's all
I've tried. 2 years. I've been doing this 2 years. You're the first spot. When you start doing it a couple of years, then you'll go up third, and then you'll know what a hot crowd's like. Like me. 2 years I've been at this.
You know, I was just trying to make him feel better. He was like blatantly like.
But see, that just shows that I not only do I love you, I think of you as a comic because I'm busting your balls.
I know.
And you know the funny thing is, when no matter how long you've been doing it, and you could literally get a standing ovation, but you're doing it 20 years, you can get a standing ovation one day, and then the next day have a horrible set.
Oh, yeah.
But the funny thing is, when you've been doing it that long, you're like, man, I don't give a fuck. Like, it doesn't matter. You know something went wrong, and that was it.
One of the best lessons I ever learned as a comic is that not everyone is going to like me.
Right.
It's not me. I've done it long enough where I know truly that I am a really good comic.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I'm always gonna go over in every crowd.
Yeah.
So I'm to that point now too. If I do bad, I'm like, was it my crowd or something? Yeah. Fuck that up. Shouldn't have done that.
So funny. I just came back from Asia, and I did it with Russell Peters. It wasn't my tour, but I did. I performed from 42,000 people within 2 weeks.
Wow.
And
not all at once.
No, not at all. It was between six shows.
Oh wow.
But
still fantastic. That's like 7,000 a show.
Yeah, two of the shows were 9,000.
Wow.
Less the other. But great shows. And like, you know, fucking destroying. Doing really well. Knowing I did well. And it was easy. It was a lot of people. But it felt good. And I came home, and me and my girl are walking around in by us, Marina Del Rey, and there's this place that have comedy. I'm like,
oh,
where the fuck is
this? Didn't we go?
O'Brien's or something like that? Or?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was thinking of a totally different club. Okay. Sorry, my bad.
So it's called O'Brien's. So we went there, and I didn't know any of these guys. And I'm thinking that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but these guys ended up being very green, very green. Even the most experienced dude there, I could tell, was an experienced open micer.
Yeah.
So I tell them, so I'm talking to the guy. I'm like, hey, you know, can I go up? Is your comic? Yeah, I'm a comic. Can I go up? He goes, oh no, I booked myself months in advance. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Get a card. Maybe I'll give you a call in a couple months. And he goes, yeah. So then I guess one guy recognized me. He goes, and he said something to him. And then he goes, oh, you want to go up? Oh, yeah, so he made me go up last, and this was a free gig at a bar, and everybody was having fun, and I guess maybe it was a bringer thing, because by the time I got up there, literally there were six people in this fucking bar. So I didn't care, and I was already buzzed by then anyway. So I get up there, and it sucked. The set sucked. I got laughed, but it still sucked. And I was like, fuck it. That was it.
Yep.
And my girlfriend was like, don't worry about it. Like, she already knows. I'm like, but I felt bad, because like, I'm sure that guy must have said something good to the guy running the show, and then I ended up not fucking...
It's the circumstance that you
have
six people left,
they're
probably tired.
Yeah, probably that's the reality of it. And I made fun of the audience. Not made fun of the audience, but I made fun of the situation.
Yeah.
You know? It's funny, though, that you say that, because I've had that same situation, or I should say similar, like when I was touring Sweden with Pablo. Like, I did it a couple times with him, but I think this might have been in 2007. And we did, like, this month-long tour all over this... Europe, really. It was Sweden, Norway, Finland, Iceland, and England.
Nice.
And it was, like, no less, like, I think the smallest crowd was 800, the biggest crowd was, like, 1,400 or 1,500.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And just killing it, killing it, killing it. And then I come back,
And my next gig is a week at a club that was in Spokane, Washington. Uh-huh. Nice club, but it's like, and I remember thinking, like, this is, it feels kind of weird to go from, like, 1,500 people to 30.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it was just, it's not that I was trying to feel like I'm better than this or anything. It's just, like, that adjustment of a month in front of, and, you know, in auditoriums back to a little club. Right. And I can't, I would imagine it was that same feeling when you cut off with Russell doing all those amazing shows to now doing six people at a bar for free. Did you have, because you said that was your first show coming
back. And it felt weird. It felt weird because the pacing is different too. Like I'm real lucky. I especially when the Lion King's comedy came out, I was selling out theaters on my own and casinos. So I wasn't doing comedy clubs. It was a few, like two or three years that I didn't do any comedy clubs. I did just casinos and theaters, and the money was good. But then, you know, I would still do little rooms in LA, mm-hmm. and it felt a little awkward. But it felt good. I mean, little by little, you just figure everything out, and you just adapt. You adjust it.
No,
it's
of course.
Just, you know, just the timing.
Can you get a water?
Yeah, but when you get a chance. Thanks.
Could you make a steak?
Why not? A steak, yeah. Nice
we'll
and juicy.
We'll
then bring one of your girlfriends over?
No, let's
do this.
Party. The freaky ones.
I fucking hate her so much.
Oh, dear. I was like, fucking leaves. No, dude.
I'm kidding.
Oh, how did you find England? I'll tell you why.
It's on a map. Yeah. A lot of us came from there.
No, I went to England on my own. I did my own tour in England.
Really?
And I did five shows while I was there.
In London?
I did London, and then I went to Newcastle.
Okay.
And I had maybe one good show. Dude, it was weird. I really, literally felt like I was an open micer all over again. I didn't know, I could not get it. Like, I'm watching, like, for instance, I'm there watching the other comics going, these guys are horrible, and everyone's laughing. I'm going, well, I'm going to fucking kill. And I went up there, and I did, you know, most of my stuff is stereotypes and stuff. And I didn't do any Latin material, but I went up there, and I did the stuff. And they think, oh, no, I don't want to get thanks. And they wouldn't have it. It was almost kind of like, they were like, oh, we don't like racial material or something. And I'm like, are you fucking serious?
You know?
I had a hard time, dude. I'll be honest. It was fucking very difficult. And then when I finally figured it out and had a good show, then I ended up fucking going to Newcastle and fucking have to start all over again because they're different. They might as well be Scottish. That's you know, it's right next to Scotland.
You know,
I son of a bitch.
I think I only did one show in London. Like that one time, and I thought it was gonna suck.
You thought it was gonna suck?
Joey just opened the bottle of water with his teeth. By the way, this
Puerto Rican ghetto here.
That's why gay guys don't like you. He's biting so hard. Sorry. I thought I was gonna suck. Because it's my first time ever doing a foreign show, and I was so fucking nervous. And I also found out that it didn't have an opener. It was just a two-man show, me and Pablo. So I was going out cold in front of a...
But they were Pablo fans.
They were right? Pablo fans,
see,
yeah.
So you were lucky. That
I did have that luxury. But no, they were... I remember them being pretty good. Like, better than I thought they would be.
We lucked out. Oh, not lucked out, but it was good. But, like, yeah, I didn't have that.
Well, you know what I found, like, with foreign audiences... Because comics ask me all the time, because I play a lot in Scandinavia now. And... the first question I always get is, do they speak English there? And I go, no. They fly me over there because they like the way I look.
Yeah.
But the you know, they say, like, well, how are they? Do they laugh? Do they get it? And I said, yeah, comedy transcends. It doesn't matter where you are. I think the only issue in a foreign country is you can't do... Because maybe that might have been the problem, is that, one, the racial thing is more maybe accepted over here than it is over there. And two, like, the biggest thing is you just can't do any specific American references.
Yeah, and I knew that. I mean, because even before that, I went to Australia and New Zealand, and I fucking killed. It did well. Completely different. So when I went to England, I'm like, oh, I got this. They're even more English than Australia. You know what I mean? They're English. So it was fucking awkward. It was awkward.
Maybe they just don't like Mexicans.
I think that's what it is.
Maybe that's just it.
Although I'm Puerto Rican. That's all. I'm more American than...
Are you Puerto Rican?
Yeah. You know that? Yeah, Puerto Rican.
Are you from Florida? Like, just meet you in Florida?
No, actually, I'm from New York. Capital, Puerto Rico.
Gotcha.
Oh, you're not from Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning more about Joey. Maybe I don't know you that well, Joey. Maybe we really didn't keep in touch as well as I thought.
We're great friends. We go
He's
way
the best
back.
Mexican comic you'll meet from Arizona. What, you're Puerto Rican from New York? He's a Puerto Rican from New York. Never been married three times. He's been married three times.
You're from the capital of Puerto Rico, New York. Yes. We're from the capital of New York, Boca Raton, Florida.
Yeah, there you
area.
Go.
Yeah, actually,
oh, you're from Florida too?
Yeah.
Yeah, she lived 20 minutes from me.
Holy shit.
Our
but
whole
we meet
lives
out here.
Living at the LAM property.
So you guys could have fucked earlier.
We could have.
Although the age difference would have been very interesting if he was.
I'm like 8 years older than him.
Yeah, so if he was 18,
oh,
I was 10.
Oh,
actually,
yeah, he
you know, his very first time doing stand up was on my 10th birthday.
Wow.
He was 18, yeah.
You know, I could have told that story.
Sorry. I was like, I've got the mic on.
I will mute that.
You know, so funny. The girl that you met that I was with, mm-hmm. the girl from Chicago, she was 20 when we were together, and I was like, I don't know what it was. I was 40, I guess. And so anyway, one day we were talking. It was funny. The girl was an idiot because she was fucking very, very immature or whatever. But she said something that was really funny one time. I forgot what it was. Like, we were just talking, and I was talking about how I've changed as a person, and I'm more mature now. And I said, honey, let me tell you something. I go, you're lucky we're together now, because 10 years ago, it wouldn't have worked. She goes, yeah, because I was 10. I was like, oh, fuck, that's right.
Nice.
I'm like, well, you know what I mean.
This is like a slap in the face of reality. When I realized that my first open mic was on her birthday, and I did the math, I'm like, oh my god, you were 10 years old when I first started doing comedy.
See, that's hot. It's hot in the thought that she
you're
that
a
she's so much
too. I didn't
no,
realize
that she's
either.
So much younger than you. It's like, I'll give you an example. Like, I've been like with that same girl. We were at I was doing a show in Chicago, and she was there obviously because she lived there. And after the show, I'm selling my merch. And this guy walks out with this chick, and you can tell he's checking her out. But he looks at me and goes, oh, is this your daughter? I go, no, but I'm her daddy. And then we both high-fived each other. Like, because we knew there was a big age difference, and we're like, I didn't give a fuck. I'm like, cool. It's a good thing.
That's
like, why
awesome.
Is it bad?
Not bad. If it's legal, why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
It's funny, you were talking...
Consenting adults.
That's exactly... Well, sometimes consenting.
Yes, I rape him.
Nice.
Rightly yes. peaceful.
Yep.
That's funny too, because you were talking about Angie, and when I saw her at the premiere of Lat Palooza. Now, this is a fun little bit of trivia for anybody who gives a shit. my character, my alter ego, Skippy Green, I'm proud to say I've done a lot with the character. I've done, you know, I got to do, I was on television a couple times as Skippy, but the very first, like, thing that I ever did as Skippy outside of the club realm was Lat Palooza.
Oh, nice.
That's this was Joey's. I think this was your first big production that you did, right?
Yeah. It was great. You were there.
Yeah, but it was a great. Actually, I didn't see the show. I wasn't there for the taping of the show.
Oh, okay.
But it was. But I remember the lineup was. It was Joey Medina. I know I'm forgetting one person. Alex Raimondo,
mm-hmm.
Darren Carter, and
Mike Robles and Willie Barsett.
Mike. Oh, wow. Great fucking lineup.
Yeah.
I forgot that Willie was involved in that. But I remember Joey called me and said, hey, you know that the character you do? You want to come do this and play my agent in this thing? I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And this is like old Skippy. This was like 2004, 5?
2006. 2005 or 2006. I think it was 2006.
2006, okay. And I just remember it was such a trip doing the character on some kind of like it was like a little film, which is, by the way, you can see it on, it's on my website.
Cool.
And Skippy's website. That's just that little clip. But I remember just having so much fun with you in the limo.
Yeah.
Like, the basic scene was us in the limo, me as his agent, just like a...
We're going to the show, and he's telling me, don't worry, everything's okay.
Yeah,
we were just freelancing everything. We were just improvising everything.
I did have a couple lines planned that I knew you didn't know about. That was the thing with, I get a phone call out of the blue, and you didn't know that was coming.
Right.
And I don't want to spoil it. But if you see the clip, but it was very fun.
That was hilarious. And then at the very end, while the credits are going up, We show a couple of outtakes. It is hilarious. Like the one thing you were saying, and whatever we're doing a bit, and then you're like, okay, now come suck my cock, and then you push my head down to your. That's in the credits. I would the end
really?
Credits. Yeah,
I don't think I ever. Actually, I think. Honey, could you see if we have Latin poison?
Yeah, it's in the end credits. It was funny, and then it fades away in us laughing. And it's funny. It's a great thing.
See, I fucking love that. I love when comics who are really friends. Like, get together and just do fun
shit. Yeah, just
shit.
Shoot shit.
You
and
know?
That's one of the reasons why, too, because I'm also a director and I love directing. Anything I love more than comedy is directing. And, that's it.
Latin Palooza. Holding it in my hand right now, that. Willie Barsett or Derek Carter.
And you can get it on iTunes, everyone. Or you can actually go to my website, joymedina.com, and I will sign it if you buy one. And it's actually a very good show. There's a bunch of There's also a bunch of funny special features that I put in there. And that was, yeah.
Comics first... talking smack, stupid, two O's interview,
yeah.
Non-nude pics. Well, that you just lost me on that. no, but yeah, definitely check out La Tempalooza. But, so I'm sorry, you're talking about directing now.
Yeah, so...
Because we had lunch not too long ago, and you showed me a couple of things on your iPhone that you had
music videos and stuff.
Music videos. That one, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the band, but the one that was just like it was very effects driven, like kind of going into one thing that leads to something else.
Oh yeah, it was
like, I think it was a rap video or something.
Yeah, it was a rap video. The guy's called Buddha.
Buddha.
And the song is called The Weeknd, and it was completely done all green screen, special effects, and.
That's something that, I mean, is that playing on any, like, networks now, like, making the rounds or anything?
No, it won a contest, though.
Did it?
Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
It won a music video contest, which was good. I didn't put it in, the artist put it in, and it won, so that was cool.
You're an award-winning director
Yes,
now.
Actually, I won an award for El Matador.
Really?
El Matador is such a, it's such a, either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. It visually sucks. It was the first thing I ever did. But it is what it is.
You know, there's actually, because I went onto IMDb and looked at El Matador, and I'm not sure, have you, like, read some of the reviews or comments on it?
Oh, hell yeah.
There are a couple people that are really behind it, like,
yeah,
just positive shit.
My mom and me, you know. And there's one woman from Philadelphia who, we ended up becoming friends now, just, you know, through the internet, just talking, but she loved the fucking video. And then there was another girl who gave me a personally. She gave me a. She talked shit about me on 19's Comedy. She thought I sucked and this and that, and she hated the way I paced back and forth. And I'm like, fuck her. Her first name was Pilar. That's all I remember. And then when El Matador came out, she wrote a review on El Matador. I'm like, oh, she's gonna fucking destroy this. It's really destroying me now. And she actually was very decent. Like, basically, she said, look, it is what it is. You can tell it's low budget. But it's a good effort. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right, cool. Then other people are like, what a piece of shit. If I could give it 0 stars, I would. Fucking, it owes me a star. Like, you know, I'm like, well, because it was. Like, if you watch it, I watch it now, I'm like, oh my God, how horrible is this fucking video or is this movie? But I did it with no money. I did it on film, not video.
Oh, that was straight film?
Yeah, we had no video assist. The cameraman that I hired with all the equipment didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He was horrible. Like, I would set a shot up, and then he would go wider and mess up a shot. And I wouldn't know until weeks later when I got the film footage back. Oh. I'm like, what the fuck happened here? So it was a lot of that. But literally, it was my film school. And I put it in a film festival. It's called the Chicano Film Festival. And it won. It won Best Picture in the film festival.
Wow.
I won Best Director.
Look at that.
And yeah, and it also won for the Best Actor. So there you go. I'm glad there was
not,
no other.
Not bad for
good
a first effort,
man.
Yeah. Yes.
So technically, I am a two-time award.
Two-time award-winning director. That's
director.
That is really awesome. So, I'm going to coach you.
There you go.
Mazel tov, as we say.
I'm going to hit my arm and sound like it's clapping. Well, I can't clap with.
You want me to? Want me to hit you?
I hear that sound in pornos all the time. So. No, so yeah, so that's, but back to directing, we were talking about skits and sketches and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up buying a bunch of equipment just recently because I wanted to shoot my own shit. And, you know, before I would have an idea and I would like have, hey, do you got a camera? Hey, do you got this? Do you got that? And things would never come out the way exactly you wanted because I was always missing something. I was either missing a good mic or I was missing lights or missing you can't do anything without a camera. But, you know, so now I invested, I put a bunch of money into the shit. Now I can shoot anything I want, pretty much. So I love that.
That's fucking great. Awesome. That's great when you have control of your own project.
Still, the only bad thing is the camera I bought is so high tech, I really don't know how to fucking use it. So I'm still shooting shit with my iPhone. Isn't that fucking weird? I got this $5,000 camera in my garage fucking collecting dust. But I just got to stop getting lazy and just fucking and start working.
Well, that's that's what happened with me with the podcast thing. Like, I wanted to do one because, I mean, not to be... a dick about this, but like every comic has one.
Right.
Every comic's doing one. It's a way to get it out there. So I'm like, well, I want to fucking do it too. So I went out and I bought this board.
Nice.
It's a nice little board, and it literally sat on my shelf for like 6 months. And I'm like, I wanted to. And it was last summer. Remember, I bought it right at the beginning of last summer. Like, I'm gonna start my podcast this summer. Didn't start this until January. Literally, I was just saying with your camera. I'm just looking at it going, okay, you're gonna fucking do this for what? So I went out. And I learned how to do everything. But now it feels great. It's like I got control of this. I'm kind of feel like I'm getting a little better at it, whatever. So I think that, you just need to...
Yeah, once you start working with something, you'll get it.
Yeah,
you'll
it's like her breast. Yes. First time, I had no idea what I was doing. Now watch this.
A twist to the left or a twist to the right, you know, I don't know.
She doesn't like the twisting.
The twisting has to happen in the course of things. You can't do the twisting.
You can't open with a twist.
Yeah. It's just like some girls like to be choked and slapped. But you've got to time that right. You just
can't do it at Starbucks.
I told them I like my hair pulled, but right. I forgot to mention how I like my hair pulled.
Yeah, it has to be, your head got to go all the way in and kind
of
grab.
It has to be in a ponytail that's up top in the back of my head, or handlebars in the back of my head pigtails. But he'll grab, this is because he knows better, he'll grab like a section of the hair from like on the side next to my ear. And just like grab like 10 hairs and yank them.
Ow.
I'm like, wait, that's not the right way.
Your eyebrows.
Exactly.
She's not Armenian.
Pulled my angle hair.
Your anal hair?
Your what?
I don't know. I was trying to think of the weirdest area where they'd probably be.
Your anal hair?
Isn't there
do you mean
hair
your
right
hair that's
hair?
Very specific?
Yeah,
hand
likes
in
some
certain ways. about the way you trim the hair, that's all.
You trim your ass hair?
You have to.
Who doesn't trim their ass hair?
I don't.
Well, you don't. Well,
you don't have a hair ass. Yeah.
Well,
you know, it's good to do it too. Like, I like getting my salad tossed. So I want, especially if I think it's going to be happening. I'm, you know, I do my thing and I take care of it. But not too long ago, I went.
Wait. How can you predict that it might happen? Like, you're talking to her and she goes, I hope you didn't have any coffee today. Hope you didn't go to Taco Bell.
Well, you know, if you, I don't know. It just depends on your plan. Like my thing is this: like, if I'm gonna be with a girl, and you know, normally, if you're gonna fuck a girl, or whatever, you're gonna meet a girl, and even if it's especially the first time, you know, you're already talking it sexually and at the bar, wherever you're at, or on the phone, you. So I want to make sure she knows everything I'm gonna do to her. So she's clean everywhere. Because that way I want to prepare her. Look, I'm going to eat your ass, so get ready.
Yes.
Like, you know, if you got that anal hair.
Between your toes. Yes. You have no idea the kind of shit I'm into.
Exactly, man. You got to, you know, I always make sure your girl's ready. But the same thing for a guy. Like, if I want a girl to go down on my ass, I feel weird having a hairy ass, so I've got to make sure it's nice and smooth.
Wait. So what, you go to like a salon and have
No, no, I just do it myself.
You shave your ass?
I do like a chick. I put my foot
up. Yeah, you got to put
the leg up. Put the leg up in the shower.
It's stretched.
And just, you know, then you feel it to make sure it's still gone.
It's just like you would do with your face, where
you've
got to be careful with the curvature. You just go with the curvature.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you, Jay. I've got the anal shave.
I have a ProGlide, so you know, ProGlide takes care of all that shit. And then, but the fun.
Else to get me for my birthday, threesome and a pro black.
The funny thing is, though, I went last week. I went and got a checkup for the first time in fucking 5 years, probably. So I was all nervous, but I didn't expect it. It wasn't planned. The doctor goes, "Well, okay, I'm gonna give you the finger." I'm like, "Oh fuck!" And I'm like, "Hey, if I would have known, I would have shaved." And he started laughing. He goes, "I don't worry about it."
Oh,
I remember. It's funny, like, not to veer off too far, but I remember when I was younger. I got my
finger.
Yeah. Well, was I got a colonoscopy.
Oh wow, okay.
Which is like the tube.
Right.
And I remember like the doctor's like, "Okay, now get on your side and you're going to feel a little pressure," and he starts like fucking as Slate would say, "Put a Roto-Rooter up there." And or a Schimmel, that was a Schimmel, sorry. And I remember him going, actually I had a bit like this, but I remember him going cuz I was like, and he goes, "Ah, come on, it's not that bad." I go, "Really? Why don't you let me fuck you with a telephone pole and tell me how good you feel right now?" It was one of the most uncomfortable things I'd ever done.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking weird. I mean, I'm used to a finger now, so...
Speaking of anal everything, I just wrote a song to try to explain to people how, if you wanted to do anal anything, how you have to start out. And that's the thing is, like, most guys assume that, okay, you get a little lube on the outside, and you just shove it in, and it works.
Yeah.
No, and so I have this whole new song, it's to the tune of Creedence Clearwater, and it's, "Soon, soon, soon, you'll be up my back door." But you gotta, like, hear all, like, the steps in between. Yeah, and it's like, please don't shove it, like, please use a digit, I'll be less likely to fidget in the whole nine, so.
By the way,
it's
gonna
be my theme song, I love it.
Theme song to book. One, you could tell that she's like a comic now, because it's like, you know, it's funny, I wrote a bit like that.
Well,
and,
I mean, you're talking,
it
and it's so exact the situation. It's a brand new idea.
I know. No, actually, it's a very good song.
Speaking of getting fucked in the ass.
But I remember one time I was working.
Let me break out this guitar.
Look me up, Alan.
Out of my ass.
Exactly. I'll be doing it the next show.
This is, I've just lost a G string. I remember I was in Orlando, and after the show, I met this one girl. Long story short, we end up back at my hotel, and we're going and, like, you know, we're doing different things and going from behind. And we get done, and we're kind of lying in bed, and we should start talking, and, you know, we're talking about, like, just sexual stuff. And I said to her, have you ever, you know, have you ever done anal? And she goes, we just did. And I went, what? She goes, are you serious? We just did. And I'm like, really? And she goes, yeah. I go, oh. No, of course I had no fucking idea.
She like, I've knocked loose?
On, she was that, I've knocked on the door before, and I know how the process
there,
usually
oops,
is.
There's a little,
yeah, just like, ow, no, no, wait, this like a fucking glove, it went in there without any resistance. I didn't even realize.
Did she glide it in there, or did you just stuck it in there?
I didn't even remember, I didn't know I did it. I thought it was a pussy.
That's ridiculous.
It was,
well, I mean, if you've ever seen, like, the, I don't know if you've ever
honey,
read
your pussy
the,
smells like shit.
Oh, I might use that. Man, your pussy smells like shit.
Yes, it is shit. It's my ass.
Oh my god.
Wow, that's
and that's another thing, girls. If you know you like it in the ass, and you're gonna want to ask for it in the ass, make sure you
wash.
Yeah, well, no, or yeah, you know, fucking do the douche your ass, do the enema, like, you know, a few hours before. Not right away. It's got to be a few hours before.
Like, I was always nervous about ever doing that, just because of the idea, like, that's where you poop out of. That's
there
like, there might be poo on my cock.
But I'll tell you something.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not, like, crazy washy, but, like, yeah, I wash when I know, and,
Crazy washy is her Japanese porn name.
crazy washy. But no, what's funny is that, like, any time that, that I've done that in the past, there would never be any trace of anything. It's almost as if, like, the battle door, like, closes when it knows that something is entering. They don't even, like, let the fucking poop channel.
It's like locking the cats in the bedroom when you have company over.
Yes,
exactly. There's literally, like, nothing.
Well, you know, if you do certain positions,
yeah.
Like, for instance, if you keep your chest, if you keep your chest on the ground or on the bed with your ass up, you know, kind of humped up, that usually helps. And that's one way. But the best way, honestly, is what you do in porn. Just, if you know you're going to do it, if you know you want it, whatever, you're going to do it that way, do an enema a few hours before, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
That's every ATM scene in every porn movie is the same. That's
ATM?
One, yeah, ass to mouth. Anytime you do ass to mouth, you know, familiar with that? Okay,
yeah,
that's ATM.
Not.
That's when a guy is...
I'm a Jew, ATM is
okay.
Money.
Yes. When a guy's fucking a chick in the ass, and then the other girl, or the same girl, blows him afterwards.
Yeah.
Ah.
You want to make it really clean, so you just fucking enema the hell out of your ass, and then you're good.
Hmm.
And then you can have fun, and it's...
The more
no
you
matter,
know.
If you enema, though, always remember, never ask to pussy. That can create infection.
Right. It's always pussy to ass.
The more you know.
So the ass is...
Yeah.
The ass is a little bit of that's the main event. That's the main course. If you're gonna do it in the ass, or just jump in the shower, even if it's clean, jump in the shower, clean yourself up, and then continue on.
Yep.
That's.
I bet you people didn't know you were gonna get a little education
that's
on anal
right,
sex.
Exactly.
Joe, okay, let me ask you this question. Now, I like asking this for comics. Give me right now your worst show ever.
Oh wow.
That you
worst.
Can remember.
Show ever that I could remember, probably okay. One of the like when I first started, I literally this week, in this particular week, I got my first standing ovation opening up for Gabe Kaplan, believe it or not, at the comic strip in El Paso.
Oh.
I got my first standing ovation. Later on that week, I did a show at the U of A college, and I oh no, that wasn't my worst show, but I practically got booed off stage.
How long did you have to do?
I think maybe like 10 minutes or something. And they were not having it. And I remember going, oh my God, I just got a standing ovation this week. And now I'm ending the week with a fucking a boo.
Did something specific happen or just...
No, I don't remember. But literally the worst show I ever had was my third professional show. No, my first professional show ever.
By professional, you mean...
Got paid.
Okay.
What happened was this. Okay, I got to give a little story. I went back... I started my career, my comedy career in Arizona, but I went to New York, and there was an old TV show, I don't know if you remember this, called Uptown Comedy Club. There was a round stage. Tracy Morgan started there. Flex. The black chick from Mad TV with the dreadlocks.
Deborah Wilson.
Yeah. Those cats were all part of that show.
So it was an urban show.
Yeah, it was all black show. So I get on because I lied. I go, I'm a professional comedian from L.A. and I'm there shooting a commercial. And they put me on the set. Not on that TV show, but the live version of it. Mm-hmm. So I go do it, and I do the act, the cholo act. And I killed. I did a great little set. It was fun. It was good. So the girl who books it, named Tina Graham, who's still booking a lot of stuff in the East Coast. She's a big booker there. She says, hey, listen, I have a room in Paterson, New Jersey this week. Do you want to do a 10-minute spot or 5-minute, whatever it was, for $50? I'm like, oh, my God, yes. Like, in my mind, going, this is the first gig ever to get paid. I'm like, this is so good. So anyway, I go over there. I get dropped off. And it's a black nightclub. I mean, black, ghetto black. And it was literally, the DJ went up. It was kind of like, All right, we're going to start the comedy show now, stop the music, and people booing, whatever. No. The host gets up there, and it's kind of like he's making fun. Look at your fucking teeth, girl. Look at your fucking your yellow motherfucking teeth. And, like, it was that kind of fucking crowd,
oh,
right?
God.
So I go up there, hey, check it out. Hey, I'm doing my cholo act. Hey, dude, literally, the boos started coming. And I would say 2 minutes in, the host comes up, grabs my microphone, and says, all right, thank you very much. I'm like, oh, fucking, I left. And I got off stage. And I remember Tracy Morgan was there, but he wasn't Tracy Morgan. He was just, you know, another comic. I'm like, dude, I'm not even going to take the money. I'm not going to take the money. I don't want that check. And he goes, man, this show business. You showed up. You take that money. And then I'm like, if I ever have a son, I'm going to fucking stab him. No. So no, he goes, you take that money. I'm like, okay, cool. So I took. It was a $50 check. And then he actually drove me home that day. And I forgot how that worked, but he drove me home. And I remember I got a contact high in his fucking car because all the way from New Jersey back to the Bronx, he fucking smoked weed the whole time. But a good guy. That's the only time I ever can met Tracy and talk to him. But
I feel that pain.
That was the worst show I ever fucking had in my life.
I've had down in Lauderdale. Long story short, I won a. They had like this urban Bud Light competition show at my home club. Mm-hmm. I did that, killed it, won. But it was a very mixed crowd, more on the less urban side. Mm-hmm. And after this, we'll wrap it up because we got to go do your podcast.
Yeah,
very excited. But then I went to the finals, which is at a black nightclub, and because I got there a little late, they already drew for spots, so I had to go out first. Right. Just ate a huge bag of dick.
Doesn't that hurt?
It does, because they don't give me a chance.
Right, you know? Right.
It's like, you gotta make us laugh in the first second, motherfucker, or it's boo.
I remember I did a black room once, and this was already when, this was in LA, and I was already, and this, I think this was like even after Latin Kings of Comedy. It was at the HaHa. Somebody had a black room. Okay. And I went up, dude, and they weren't having it. And I know it wasn't me. And I finally just stopped in the middle of my act. I go, you know, guys, look, I know you're not digging me, and that's cool. But I make a living, so I know I'm funny. I go, and I'm sure if my name was Shucky Ducky Quack Quack, and I came up here and said, motherfucker, mother. And I go, oh, you guys would love me. And I just basically started fucking making fun of them, and they started laughing. I'm like, okay, there you go.
It's so fucking funny how that works. There's never a formula.
Yeah,
it's never exactly the same.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you going to do?
But I know what you're going to do. You, my friend, yes. Are still going to be an amazing comic. And Joey Medina, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, man. It's good being on your show. It's always good hanging with you anyway.
Absolutely.
Whether we got a mic or not.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That's fucking what I love about this. You could, of course, check out Joey's stuff at Facebook.
Yeah, of course. If you go to my website, joymedina.com, you get my Facebook, my MySpace, if you're 14 and under, I guess,
yeah.
My Twitter, all that stuff is there. And also my podcast, which is called The Joey Medina Show. You can get that on iTunes, Stitcher, or just go straight to my website, joymedina.com, and you can check it out there.
And I think I will be on one of those episodes very
Yes, you will be.
Very shortly. And, of course, you guys, as always, check me out at flipschultz.com or flipisfunny.com on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Google Plus. You can get my CDs on iTunes, on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep plugging it. Why not go get Breaking Wind, the silly little spoof that I have a nice part
in. You were great in it, sir.
Oh, that's right. Joey saw it.
Right.
Joey saw it.
Funny little movie.
Funny little silly movie. Always check out the podcast, whatsfordinnerpodcast.com. As always, thank you so much for everybody, for your constant support, your lovely emails and whatnot. And I will see you guys next time. And to Allison, who had to leave the studio room.
Steak.
because she got a text or something. You can check her out at dirtyguitargirl.com, and she's also on Twitter and Facebook. Guys, thank you again so much. I will see you next time. So long.